My name is Eric Gerken. I'm a DCE. I serve at Prince of Peace, Principe de Paz in Orlando, Florida. Before serving in Florida, I served at Trinity Lutheran in Fremont, Nebraska, and also at Our Savior Lutheran in St. Petersburg, Florida, and also as a camp director, Camp Lewisimo in South Wisconsin District. So, been around the country a little bit, and there are introverts everywhere. And I am one of you. And it's been interesting for me as a DCE who knows himself as an introvert. I know some of you, many of you, have DCEs, youth leaders, who are known for being crazy and outgoing, and I am not that. And so it's interesting, as I have interviewed for positions around the country, I feel like I have to disclose that. I have to say, hey, the stereotypical crazy, you know, running around with their hair on fire DCE, it's not me. I'm much more understated. I'm much more into really intimately getting to know my people and caring for my people and teaching them. And I almost feel like I'm at an AA meeting. You know, hi, I'm Eric and I'm an introvert. But you know what I'm talking about, right? Okay, so here's the thing. This session is kind of the end of a personal journey for me. About 2 years ago, I was in my office doing my thing, doing some lesson planning or whatever I was doing, but it was desk work. And I had somebody from my church knock on my office and say, hey, you know that there's a senior citizen social event that's happening down in the fellowship hall. You should come down and say hello. And normally I would stop in and just say hi to some folks and check out how people are doing. I don't necessarily thrive on those social things. I don't necessarily need those things, but I know it's important as a staff person to get out and talk to people. But for this particular day, I really was too busy to go and just say hello. I had stuff to get done. I was on task. And this person stopped me and said, no, you're going to come down to the fellowship hall and you're going to talk to those people because we need to start fixing your personality. And I thought, what? You're so quiet. And it started me thinking, I've known I'm an introvert, but is there something wrong with me? Do I really need to be fixed? I don't know, but I'm guessing from the response that I got from my folks that I got to know yesterday, that that's not a unique experience. That maybe some people have made you feel like there's something wrong with you because you are maybe a quieter person, a more introverted person, a person who does a little bit more self-reflection than your typical extrovert. If you've experienced that, I'm sorry. And I started researching things about personalities because I wanted to learn. And so, how many of you have been encouraged to be more outgoing? Get out of your shell. See, and that's only the people who are raising their hands. Some of you who have been told that probably didn't raise your hands because, you know, we don't like drawing attention to ourselves. You know what, folks? I want to tell you that those folks who are saying, you need to put yourself out there more. There's something wrong with you. You need to be this or need to be that. They are, in my opinion, much like misheard lyrics. They are saying things, but maybe their heart's in the right place. Maybe they know the tune, but they've got the lyrics wrong. And let me tell you a little bit what I mean by that. A lifetime ago, when I was just starting off at Our Savior Lutheran in St. Petersburg, Florida, we were coming back from some kind of activity, and I was taking some kids home. And I had three other kids in the car. I'm a classic rock guy. Any other classic rock people here? Okay. All right. So when I cue you in just a little bit, you're going to sing with me because I'm an introvert who is terrified of being on stage. You're very, very scary. I'm sure you're very kind people, but right now as a mass, you are very scary to me. So I need you to smile at me and help me when I ask you to. Okay. So I'm driving some kids home, and Bon Jovi comes on the radio. Okay. living on a prayer. Okay? And as happens when you've got DCEs and kids in the car, we're singing along to the song, right? We're jamming out. And Living on a Prayer is a pretty good rock, you know, song to rock out with when you're sitting in the car. And so we're like, whoa, halfway there, whoa.
Living on a prayer.
And that's what three of us sang, but there was one person who did not sing that. Okay. Terry, very boldly, very full-throated, sang, living on bread. We're like, what? What is that? And he actually had an explanation for why he thought that was the lyric. So if you know the song, you know Tommy and Gina, all they've got is each other. They're poor. They don't have anything. And so he's thinking they're living on bread. They don't have anything. All they have is bread to eat. Okay? In his mind, that lyric made sense to him. Now, when he found out what the real lyric is, it was like, okay, whatever. So the joy of being in youth ministry in this day and age is I am still in touch with kids that I had almost 30 years ago to this day. And so fairly recently, Terry sent me a Facebook message. And it's like the other day I was in the car and Living on a Prayer came on. And I still kind of sing Living on Bread in my head. Okay? It's the same with us. We maybe know that there's nothing wrong with being an introvert, that there are healthy things about being an introvert, but our extroverted culture tells us that we're wrong. Okay? It is giving us a false lyric. It is saying that there's a problem with you. Okay? Their heart might be in the right place when they say, come out of that shell, but maybe they don't recognize that that's how God made you to be. So with Terry's lyric, I kind of understood. You know, he had that explanation of Tommy and Gina being in poverty, and that's why he's, you know, why that lyric made sense to him. But sometimes we mishear the lyrics and they make no sense. I sing it. Two chickens with parrot eyes makes no sense. And you know what else doesn't make sense? These labels. You, as an introvert, are not necessarily these things. Shy, reserved. How many of you introverts have had your friends say, oh yeah, they act shy, but when you really get to know them, they're insane? Right? Okay, so you're not necessarily shy. You have situational craziness. Okay? All right? All of these words, shy, reserved, reclusive, self-absorbed, aloof, timid, socially awkward, passive, withdrawn, loners, quiet, scared. There's nothing wrong necessarily with these labels, but being an introvert does not mean you are these things. You might be an introvert and some of these things, or maybe not all, any of them. Okay? Self-absorbed, some of the most generous, caring people I know are introverts. Okay? But here's what we need to know about society. In American culture, about 55% identify themselves as extroverts, which leaves a healthy minority, 45%, that say, I am an introvert. Okay? We're almost a 50-50 nation, with the extroverts having a slight numbers advantage. But those same people who identified themselves as extroverts or introverts, when asked which one is better, extroverts were perceived to be better by 85% of those people. We're almost 50-50, but as a nation, we have decided being extroverted, being that person who is out there shaking hands, meeting people, social butterflies, that that is better than being the introverted person who might not thrive on a ton of social interaction, social activities for the sake of social activities kind of stuff. All right. There's not a problem with extroverts and introverts, largely it comes down to brain chemistry, okay? And we're talking about the human body. And yes, there are differences in body. And I'm going to propose that the differences between an extrovert and an introvert are as chemical and biological as gender difference, skin color difference, eye color difference, hair color difference. Okay? It is who you are. Okay? Now, there are some people who are more introverted or more extroverted, but it really is who God made you to be, and we're going to learn how to celebrate that today. The things that there's a lot of brain chemistry stuff that I learned over the last couple of years. To really simplify it, there are some things that causes the body to produce dopamine in extroverts that don't create dopamine in introverts. And there are situations for introverts where we get that shot of adrenaline, we get the dopamine injection, when extroverts don't. It's just what energizes us, and we're going to talk a little bit more of that in a little bit. But before that, we're going to talk about how we got to the place where so many people, the majority of Americans, value extroversion over introversion, and it is this dude. For those of you who are my generation, maybe grew up in the 80s, we're blaming the Freud dude from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, Sigmund Freud. You guys have heard that name. One of the founders of psychology and an extrovert. And he had a problem with people who were introverts. He thought there was something wrong with them. In fact, in some of Freud's writings, he describes introverted people as having narcissistic personality disorder. Okay? And if you're not familiar with narcissism, it comes from the Greek mythology, Narcissus, a young man who fell in love with his own reflection. And according to Freud, he thought introverts were not outgoing because they thought that introverts think that they're better than other people, okay? That they're not stimulated by conversation with the commoners, that they're snobs, that they are choosing not to be extroverted because they think of themselves as better than everyone else. That is nonsense. We know that now, but as Freud was an authoritative voice, people listened, and he helped form public opinion. Well, there was an introvert who had a problem with that, Carl Jung, another psychologist. And so as he studied, he came up with this continuum, all right, and said that all personalities are part of who people are and are not necessarily formed cognitively or from experience. It's not a learned behavior, but there's so much of personality that is just who you are. And that some people are naturally more outgoing and extroverted, and some people are naturally more introverted, and some people very much so. And then if you look where in the middle, that's what he considered to be an ideal person. A person who was equal parts extrovert and introvert. And I can think of only one person who fits that bill. We know who the perfect person was, right? And so if you look at Jesus, you see extrovert and introvert tendencies. I'll start with the extrovert because that's where extroverts always start. They always, you know, everything's about the extroverts. all right. But Jesus was at home in the masses among the people. He drew people to himself. He had to have been a very engaging person. Now, I understand the word got out. He was healing people and performing miracles, and people wanted to see him. But if he was not an engaging person, that would have worn out quickly. He clearly was an engaging people. People were drawn to him. He was invited over for meals by strangers. People loved him. But then the scripture always talks about, and Jesus went away to a quiet place to talk to the Father, to pray. And so we see both extrovert and introvert tendencies in Jesus. you probably look at that continuum and you've probably already placed yourself somewhere on there, haven't you? I'm this much introvert, or I'm this much introvert, or the extroverts who are in the room in support of us introverts, thank you for being here. You've probably found yourself on the continuum too. Now, psychology has developed a little bit more than this, but I really do think the continuum is helpful to say, where am I? But there's not a right place to be on the continuum. God has created us individually, okay, with different strengths and weaknesses. And one of human beings' biggest weaknesses is trying to be somebody else, right? No one else can be the best you that you can be. And so knowing who you are, knowing what feeds you and what drains you, is part of you being a successful person. And so the most important thing I'm going to share with you is this next thing, and that is how to understand your introverted nature and how to understand why extroverts are the way that they are. It all comes down to energy levels, okay? And so extroverts and introverts have very different ways where they get energy and how they spend energy. Again, because they are who they are. We're going to start with the extroverts. Extroverts are solar panels. I'm going to be out there as wide as I can, all right, as much exposure as I can. I want to meet everybody. I want to talk to everybody. I'm the social butterfly, and I am wide open, and I am energized by talking to people and taking all the information in, and I don't care that it's small talk about weather and the politics, and nobody cares. Keep it coming at me, okay? Those are our extrovert people. They love parties. They love mixers. They love events like this, the youth gatherings, right? Where they see, oh my gosh, 20,000 people I can meet. I want to meet them all. They're like Pokemon. So they want to get out there. They want to do as much as they can. Okay? Most of my introvert friends I know right now, this event, while it has been great and has been spiritual uplifting, is also draining, right? A little bit draining, getting to know people, spending time with people that are not normally the people you spend time with, spending a lot of extra time with people. So I understand that this event is draining for you. It is draining for me. We're not solar panels. So the extrovert, you know what they don't like? Libraries. They do not like tests. Don't talk to your neighbor. Okay? When they have all this that they want to share and all they want to gather in and somebody's shushing them, that's very frustrating. You mean I have to do it by myself? You know? Okay, it's Friday night and you want to stay home and watch TV? That sounds very, very draining. Okay? Who's gonna pour into me? Very, very different. Introverts, we are rechargeable batteries, okay? And so what gives us energy is isolation. I need my alone time. I need time to, you just threw 10,000 things at me. I need time to process that before I respond. So I'm going to get in my singular isolation chamber, and I'm going to charge, okay? But we are also energized by one-on-one conversations or small groups. We are motivated by task, by does this mean something? Nothing drains us like, how you like the weather? Who cares what I think about the weather? You know, that is a very draining question for us. Or the people who want to come up and talk about, you know, this thing that they saw on the news, or did you see how the game ended last night? And all these trivial things that the extroverts, the solar panels, want to take it in and be energized by it. Small talk drains us. Because when people talk to us, we take them seriously. We process it. We want to come up with a thoughtful response. And by the time we do that, that person has already made three more comments that we haven't listened to. It's draining and it is exhausting. And the extrovert world thinks it's weird that we maybe want a little bit more alone time, that we're not going to jump at every social opportunity. But when you talk to us, we're listening, we're compassionate, okay? And so we are just different people. Now, there are times when the extrovert has to be more like an introvert, where we do shush the kid, like, just be quiet and take your math test, okay? And us as introverts, there are times where we have to step into roles that are maybe better suited for extroverts, okay? That's a reality of life. I feel very compelled to be here to share this information with you, but it is a very this is a very extrovert thing that I'm doing right now. It's draining me right now, but I feel that it's important. And so I made the conscious decision to do it. I spent time preparing to do it. I practiced to do it so that I could do it. An extrovert, oh, you want me to talk about it? I don't care what I don't know. I'm just going to get up there and talk, you know? And that's another mark between extroverts and introverts, is introverts, we do tend to give more thought to what we say, where extroverts think and speak at the same time. And that's why a lot of times they have to take things back. Extroverts are the ones who are more prone to misspeak, to speak before they think and then have to apologize, where introverts generally able to think things through more and not to have to apologize for as many things as we say. All right? So the thing is, extroverts and introverts are both intentionally created by God, okay? Introversion is not a mistake. It is not something you have to apologize for. It is something to know about yourself. It is something to know, these are the things that are going to be hard for me. These are the things that I am built for. This is how I contribute. This is where it might be better for me to seek out somebody else to step up into that role. All right. And God has, in his wisdom, created extroverts and introverts and used us how he made us in historical roles and in biblical roles. I'm going to give you some examples right now of showing how God intentionally uses both. And so we're going to start in history. I'm going to go to the American Civil Rights Movement. Okay, not that long ago, even though for some of the teens it probably does seem like ancient history when you hear about it in history classes. But when I think of the Civil Rights Movement, the very first person I think of is Martin Luther King Jr., okay? An extrovert's extrovert, okay? He was on stage all the time giving fiery, passionate speeches, but then getting out into communities and talking to people and organizing people, and he just put himself out there, okay? I have a dream. All the things that you think about with Martin Luther King Jr. and all the things that he did and he meant to so many people, the civil rights movement does not happen the way that it did without him. However, it also doesn't happen without Rosa Parks, okay? Rosa Parks, an introvert's introvert. And if you're not familiar with her story, the Reader's Digest version, the quick version is, she's a hardworking woman and was taking the bus home at night, and it was still under Jim Crow laws. And so blacks were expected to go to the back of the bus. The front of the bus was reserved for whites so they could easy get on, easy get off. At the end of her workday, she was tired. She was beat, her feet hurt, and she wanted to sit down. And so she took a seat in the front of the bus. She was asked to move, and she refused, and she was arrested, and she inspired millions of people with her quiet strength that says, I am a person, I deserve to be able to sit where I want to on the bus. I'm not less than anybody else. She let her quiet character speak for her and inspired millions. All the sit-ins that were a part of the civil rights movement are because of this one woman's quiet strength. She didn't give many interviews, certainly didn't give many like television interviews, occasionally some print interviews. She wasn't inspiring people necessarily with how much she said and organizing people in different communities, but she said, I know that I matter and you can't bully me, and this is what I believe, and inspired millions of people. God worked through both the extrovert and the introvert to bring that movement about. And I would say in very much equal parts, even though maybe Martin Luther King Jr. is a little bit better known, he doesn't have the success that movement had without Rosa Parks. The same is true in the scripture. God consistently used both the extrovert and the introvert. I'm going to go to the Old Testament and lift up two of the big three. When I say the big three, the Old Testament is Abraham, Moses, David. Start with David. What an extrovert. Think about this story. This teen boy whose brothers are in the army, dad says, hey, go out to the battle lines and bring them some food. And when he gets there, he sees Goliath taunting the troops. And this teenage boy with no military training is like, come on, guys, somebody go fight him. You can do it. And nobody's following him. So he goes to the king and says, I'll do it. What tells me he is for sure an extrovert. He was able to convince the king of a nation to have him be this sole representative in a military battle. You think he has some charisma? He talks the king into letting him go, and with God's strength is able to defeat the giant. And then, you know, the rest of his life just filled with charismatic activity. He is such an extrovert. And then you've got Moses living in exile, also watching some sheep, sees a burning bush in the distance, cautiously approaches, like, why is that bush not burning up? And God speaks to him and says, Moses, I want you to lead my people. So go march into the throne room of the most important person in the world and say, God says, let my people go. And Moses says, no, that's not me. Not so much. Not the speaker, not the go into the Pharaoh's throne room and demand things kind of guy. And God ultimately, do you notice, if you read that account, how many times Moses says, not me, not me, not me, not my style, But God says, no, I want you and I will be with you. And the introvert Moses trusts God, does the very, very gutsy thing of marching into Pharaoh's throne room, and ultimately becomes the leader of God's people in the wilderness. But he did a lot of delegating. He had good relationships with people who were right underneath him and asked them to carry the news out to all those Israelites. And so God worked through both an extrovert and an introvert. And two of those big heroes of faith, they're not both extroverts. There are others. There are other introverts. Another one, Daniel, if you're familiar with the story of Daniel, in exile, led by example, led by just being a kind, decent human, and really became a leader of the people in exile because he exhibited quiet strength. Scripture goes on to also lift up the characteristics of being an introvert. You'll see a couple of scriptures here. What I want to point out is two of the three that I picked out here. These scriptures come from the book of Proverbs, a book of wisdom. And when Solomon wrote about wisdom that comes from God, he largely embraced introvert characteristics. Listening before you speak. Not letting your tongue be quick to anger. Proverbs really lifts up being more thoughtful, more reserved, and a little less aggressive. That's not to say that Scripture does not talk positively about extrovert characteristics. Greet one another with a holy kiss. We all probably know the extrovert who would actually still do that, right? The person who would run into church and greet everybody and kiss them on the cheek. But what I think this really means for us is that we need those extroverts too. You know what extroverts do really well? The things like we had the young lady who on stage who's moving everybody to the center. People who are like church greeters. Wonderful roles for extroverts. And then we've got this with Peter. Jesus approached Peter and said, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. You have some personality conflicts or characteristics that I can use. Scripture lifts us all up. And so as extroverts and introverts, we work together to fulfill the Great Commission. For everyone in the world to hear, my first, when you talk about that they need to hear, you might think, oh, we need an extrovert to tell them. Okay, there are people who are not going to respond to the way that an extrovert might approach them with the good news of the gospel. There are some serious superhero strengths that you bring as an introvert. Because we're going to do something. We're going to do something that might be a little uncomfortable. Although I think as introverts, I think all of you, many of you, most of you brought somebody with you who is a safe person for you, who is not going to be awkward to start a little bit of a conversation, because we're going to do a little conversation here in this room. And what I want you to do is think about, what strengths do I as an introvert have, or do introverts in general have, that benefit the church? What that benefit being able to reach people with the gospel? And by the way, we're not also only talking about people outside of your church, but there are people who go to your church who need Jesus. There are people who are sitting in your pews because it is expected of them. It's the right thing to do. It's the right place to be seen, but maybe don't know Jesus. So what I would like for you to do is to turn to one or two people. Maybe it can be the people you came with. I'm not going to be that speaker who's going to force you to make new friends. Okay? But maybe turn to somebody who's here with you. Or if you're comfortable doing that, include somebody that maybe you're just meeting today. And if you are that introvert who would rather process this information on your own, that's okay. We're not going to pressure you. But I'd like to spend 3 to 5 minutes and talk to each other. What are your superheroes? What strengths do you bring to our churches? And what do the churches need to know about introverts so that we can do a better job of fulfilling the Great Commission? So now I'm going to ask you to step across that midline and be a little extroverted. If there are any people who are willing to raise their hands and share some things that the rest of the room needs to hear that are some of the superpowers that we as introverts bring to the church. What do we got? Oh, you're raising someone else's hand. That's a very introverted thing to do. Okay. Okay. Okay, she said that we as introverts tend to be very observant and maybe we'll notice some details that maybe our extroverted friends are too busy talking to notice. Okay, what else? What do we got? She said from a teacher or a leader perspective is that introverts might be more equipped to understand what both an extrovert and an introvert is, where an extrovert might struggle to really understand us introverts, but we can maybe empathize a little bit more with someone who is different than us. I like it. Yeah, back here. For those on the other side of the room who might not have heard that, she said that introverts often gravitate to the behind-the-scenes roles, the things where they don't have to be out front or necessarily interacting with a lot of people, but those behind-the-scenes roles are essential for church programming to work, or and any program. So really, that is another superpower that we bring. She's talking about that introverts tend to be better with details. Have you ever noticed that the extroverts tend to be great with coming up with big ideas and they have no idea how to make them happen? Okay. Introverts are what makes the things go because we are more detail oriented. Who else? Well, we've got one over here. Yeah. So craving that seclusion, we spend more time not only reading, it might be more familiar with the scripture, and it might just be the introverts make great research people, okay? And that goes back to some of the detail planning that we talked about. And so, but sometimes we need those extrovert rah-rah people to help get people excited about it and be some of those upfront people. But yeah, we tend to give better thought out answers. And in fact, at my church staff, we actually had one of our leaders say, hey, when we do roundtable discussions, I have figured out that I shouldn't start with you because you haven't processed it yet. And so they usually start with the person next to me and work the other way around the table. So when I get to go last, I've actually had the time to think things through and give a reasoned response. But the other thing, because we do tend to give things more thought, people learn from experience that they find us trustworthy, you know, that we are going to give them some solid advice. Yeah, so we might hear one of the extroverts throw an idea out and we can develop that and say, oh, this has got, so you said it this way, but it's got more possibility than that. All right. And that's, yes.
I think it's typical for introverts to kind of stick through things longer than extroverts because they might notice something else and do that rather than.
Our extrovert social butterfly friends do tend to move on from things quickly, and our introverts tend to endure. We have to endure the extrovert world, right? And so, one more. You just read my mind. We tend to be able to look at a room and see that, hey, something's not right with them, you know, and we tend to, so while the extrovert might tell them to buck up and get over it, we are more likely to go over and try to help somebody to get to the root of something that they're feeling. A listening ear. Now, the potential problem with that is sometimes people need us to listen to them and not solve their problems. And sometimes we want to find the solution. We think that sometimes that helping them means figuring it out for them. And sometimes they do just need to talk. And sometimes I know when I'm just need somebody to talk to, as I'm telling somebody what's going on, I'm kind of working it out on my own as I'm finding that sympathetic listening ear. And so that is something we have to watch. We can't solve everything. Sometimes our role is just to listen and say, I love you. I care about you. Let's take this to Jesus. Okay? You guys are fantastic. Thank you for stepping out and being a little extroverted here. The church needs you, and it doesn't need you to change. It needs you to be who God made you to be. As introverts, we are called to endure a world that values extroversion. Do not listen to the false lyrics. Don't hear that you need to change, that you need to be more this. Instead, listen to God's word that says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are made on purpose. And as I tell my teens all the time, God thought, I could make you and put you in this time, in this place, with this family, with these friends. And he said to himself, yep, that's a good idea. You are intentional. Use your superpowers. And it might mean even sharing some of the things that you have learned here today with some other people to let them know, hey, this is a little bit what I learned about who I am and what I bring to the table. I need this, and this drains me. And if I go through a situation that drains me, I'm going to need a little bit of time to recharge. Okay? You understanding yourself and what you need to be successful is the first step in your success. If you are interested in some of the things that we talked about today. These are the three books that I largely have based today's presentation on. I've got copies of those books up here if you want to leaf through them a little bit. A little bit of a recommendation for our youth present. The middle one called Quiet. It is very much an overview of the differences between introverts and extroverts and how to succeed in an extrovert-driven world. So that is the simplest one, a good overview. The Introvert Advantage, if you're interested in knowing more about this topic, talks a lot more about brain chemistry, if you're one of those science nerds. The other thing that is fascinating in the Introvert Advantage is it dedicates several chapters to romantic relationships and what extrovert and introvert has to do with how we get along with boyfriends, girlfriends, and potential husband and wives. There are some interesting combinations. There are some combinations that don't work so well. The one that is really, really kind of toxic, it can work, but it's the hardest one, is an extrovert dating an extrovert. But it's interesting when you have one who is an extrovert and one who's an introvert, gender dynamics matter. You know, it's interesting when the male is the introvert versus when the female is the introvert. So if you're interested in knowing more about that kind of stuff, that's that far book. And then the one closest to me, Introverts in the Church. What's really interesting to me about that is the tagline at the bottom. It talks about healing the hurt and that we have done to introverts in the church. So if you are a church leader and you're wondering, how do I engage some people who are not the super outgoing people? Or if you're a youth leader who's saying, hey, I've got some teens who are introverts in my ministry and I want to know how to more successfully reach them and understand them, that would be the book for you. A couple more things. We're going to pray. And after we pray, I feel like I have to distribute some chickens without parrot eyes. So if some of you walk out with chickens as a reminder of what we learned today, don't listen to the world's lyrics. Two chickens with parrot eyes is a stupid lyric and no one should be singing it. Okay? Listen to, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. God made you the way you are. God loves you the way that you are. Listen to that. All right. But if you first in prayer, if you join me, Heavenly Father, thank you for making all of us. And especially, Lord, today, we thank you for those of us who are introverts, for giving us the qualities of quiet strength, of retrospection, of quiet reliance on you. Help us, Lord, as we are in the world, to be our most authentic selves, the person that you made us to be. Help us to resist the temptation to want to be someone else, but help us to develop our strengths and help us to lead by example and with quiet words and quiet strength. We pray that you would be with all of us for the rest of this gathering, that the rest of the gathering would continue to teach us about the Jesus who endured the cross, and that we can take that message out into the world. We pray that you would be with us and bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.